Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Uncapped. We are now at episode 6. If you tuned in for episode 5, thank you for tuning in. We got some new listeners. So happy to see that we're getting a bigger audience. Means a lot. So thank you for tuning in. I'm very excited for today's episode. Before I reveal the vibe of today's episode, some of you may know the drill by now. We're going to go over some movie news. So to start with some movie news, Jordan Peele's fourth film of his horror installments. The plot just got released and so did the title. So his fourth film is called Him. It's set as a horror film. And just a rough synopsis about what Him entails from Jordan Peele. Him centers on a promising young football player invited to train at an isolated compound of a dynasty team's aging quarterback. I'm very excited to see where this is going to go. We have a sports horror movie. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a movie that really revolves around sports as the main premise for a horror movie. I personally love Jordan Peele. For those that don't know, he made Get Out. That was probably his most popular smash hit. Then his second installment was Us. And then the third came out a few years ago. Nope is what it was called. So now we have him. So the release date is actually September 19th, 2025 of this year. I'm very excited. Very excited because I love Jordan Peele. Don't really want to wait that long. And who's it starring? Oh, it's starring Marlon Wayans and Tyreek Withers, produced by Monkey Paw Productions. Oh, very excited. So I'm curious to see where this is going to go in his film discography, ranking wise. I think Get Out is his best, but I'm very excited. The poster looks like a football in a glass cage. We got some blood on it. So that's cool. And then the slogan says, "Greatness demands sacrifice." Very exciting. This seems like it's going to be a very interesting movie from him. I hope it's better than Nope, because I didn't love that one too much, but subject to opinion. I've been getting a lot of hate, by the way, on my TikTok for a certain TikTok I posted. People forget that not everyone likes the same movies that you might personally like. Anyway, moving on. And then my recommendation that is not on par with this week's theme. I watched a lot of good movies this week. I would say my recommendation for this week is The Seventh Seal. It is a fantasy horror movie from 1957. I probably lost some of you guys there, and then I'm gonna lose you even more when I say that this movie was in Swedish, so you'll have to read some subtitles. And it's in black and white, but I don't want to hear anyone moaning or groaning. It was great. It centers around a lot of themes of religion, death, life. Basically, the Swedish knight returns home from the Crusades. It's set during that time period. It's also set in the time period of the Black Plague, the Black Death. The Grim Reaper comes to take this knight, our lead, Antonius Black, and they play him a game of chess. He's trying to cheat himself out of death. And I just think it's very interesting. A lot of the metaphors, it felt like a masterpiece, and I kind of understand why it's a classic. So that's why I'm recommending it for this week. Anyway, now for what we're all here for, the main vibe of this episode, I'm pretty excited for. We are talking about my personal favorite director, or one of them at least. I would say he's one of the GOATs, Christopher Nolan. Most of you may know Christopher Nolan. He has some blockbuster hits. Majority are blockbuster hits. To name a few before we really go into depth about it is Interstellar, Inception, the Batman trilogy with Christian Bale. Some would say that those are the best Batman movies of all time. And honestly, I would agree. But Christopher Nolan's one of my GOATs of directors. He just has a signature style, focuses on these complex narratives, visual storytelling, thought-provoking themes. And in terms of his visual effects, I think he's the best in the game. His use of CGI just feels so practical in ways that other directors aren't able to live up to him. And his discography is insane. Also, his cast that he has on almost every movie, fantastic. But before we get into some films, let's talk about his legacy, just for those that aren't aware. So the vibe of his films is just this ability to blend these complex narratives, like we were saying, these breathtaking visuals, often using CGI, but they just look so real, so practical. These thought-provoking themes, they just create immersive and unforgettable cinematic experiences. I will say, when they released Interstellar back a few months ago for the 10th anniversary of the film, I saw that in IMAX with one of our guests in the podcast, shout out D. Will. It was amazing. That was probably one of the best movie experiences I've ever had visually. So, so engaging. You just feel like you're in space, especially with how big that screen is. The soundtrack, amazing. I love Christopher Nolan. I think he's come such a long way from his first film. His first film was called Following from 1998. Don't get me wrong, great movie, but you can just see how far he came if you watch that movie to see where he is now. He only had a $6,000 budget, apparently, when I was looking at some facts about the film. And it was another thriller and suspenseful movie, and that's really what he likes to do. So he showed us who he was and what he was capable of from the beginning. But he's just come such a long way from small budget movies like that to creating blockbuster hits. I mean, last year at the Oscars, Oppenheimer swept the big awards. It was amazing. I think he's awesome. I think that he really is one of a kind. I would say one of the best directors of this century. I'm gassing him up, but I love him. So what can I say? He also has, like I just was saying before, stacked cast. I'm so sick and tired of people saying that they want to see auditions, bring back auditions in Hollywood. When the cast of The Odyssey got released, people, with a Christopher Nolan movie, you are not getting some no-name as their breakout role starring in a Christopher Nolan film. You are getting an A-list actor, most likely, with a reputable performance, reputable resume. Personally, I like knowing who I'm getting. I like knowing that the actor that's going to star in a Christopher Nolan movie is probably going to give a tip-top performance. Like Cillian Murphy 2 years ago with Oppenheimer. He is a fantastic actor. Peaky Blinders, love him. The rest of the cast, Robert Downey Jr., Emily Blunt, great as well. Like, I feel like, wouldn't you like knowing that the movie you're getting, at least the cast is going to be stacked. They're going to put on a show. They're going to put on a performance. It's great. Speaking of his upcoming film and people getting annoyed, his upcoming film set to release in 2026, The Odyssey. Most people should know or at least aware of The Odyssey. It is a famous Greek philosophical story. I had to read this book and we actually watched an older version of the movie freshman year of high school. I thought it was great. I mean, at the time, it was definitely a little confusing as a 14-year-old reading The Odyssey, but I'm so excited for Christopher Nolan to take that on. There are some photos that were released of some of the cast on the set of The Odyssey. We have Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Zendaya's there, Anne Hathaway is rumored to be in the film as well, and again, set to be released in 2026. So very excited to see how that turns out, and very excited to see where this is going to fall on his overall tier ranking of films. I think that Interstellar, Inception, and The Prestige, my personal favorite movies of his. So let's see where The Odyssey falls. I think it's going to be great. And I think it might be his last film. So we'll see. And if it is his last film, there is no movie that's going to be more hyped up than this. I mean, it's going to be insane. It's going to be one for the ages. But that's what he does. He makes entertaining films. And that's why we're talking about him today. So before we kind of get into the movies that I want to review, because I'm going to pick my top three Christopher Nolan movies, again, subject to opinion, can't even believe I have to say this, but my personal preferences might not be yours. So if you want to listen, do. Thank you. If you don't, don't. But just having a conversation, talking about what I like, maybe inspiring some people to watch if you don't feel like it. Argue with the wall. But anyway. Okay, so before we get into me breaking down my top three favorite films of his, I thought something fun we could do would be a little this or that with Christopher Nolan's film. So for our audio listeners, I will describe what is happening. And for our visual watchers and listeners, you can see the screen recording of my little this or that game going on. So let's begin. So our first round, we have Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. This Batman trilogy starring Christian Bale is absolutely my favorite of the Batman movies. I think this goes without saying. A lot of people agree, at least from what I've seen online. Christopher Nolan did an amazing job. I personally think the best movie out of these would be The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. But what should I pick for this one? I'm going to go with The Dark Knight Rises for our first choice. So it was either Batman Begins or Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight Rises. Okay. Now we have Memento and Inception. I love Inception. That's one of my favorite movies. 5 stars from me. Memento, fantastic movie. I personally don't love it as much as Inception, but I think it's a great movie. I think this is probably what put Christopher Nolan on the map as a fantastic director. The way this film was edited, shot, I think that it's definitely a cinematic masterpiece. So you know what? To fake some people out, let's go with Memento for this pick. All right, next we have Tenet and Oppenheimer. Feel like more people are a little familiar with Oppenheimer. It came out most recent, his most recent film from 2023, starring Cillian Murphy again, about the life, well, not the life, I guess you'd say the career of Oppenheimer and the creation of the nuclear bomb for World War II and just the progression of that new wave of science taking place. So that's Oppenheimer, and then Tenet. Tenet isn't one of his more popular films. I think this strikes such a big debate. I've either heard you love it or you hate it. I'm personally in the middle. I gave it 3 stars. Not my favorite film of his, but it definitely was fun, and I can appreciate what he was going for with this whole sense of, I don't want to say time travel, but it kind of was time travel in a sense. So the plot of this basically is a CIA agent is on a mission to stop this big Russian arms dealer from getting a hold of certain equipment to have the codes to basically explode the planet. It was weird, but it was fun. So you know what? I'm honestly just going to go with Oppenheimer. Ooh, this is a toughie. All right, I'm going to piss off some FBFs, and that term we are coining. FBF stands for Film Buff Fucks. I'm definitely going to piss some FBFs off with this one. Our options are Interstellar or The Dark Knight. Interstellar is my favorite movie of all time. I am picking Interstellar. Argue at the wall. Okay, next we have Following, his first breakout film, I would say, from 1998, or The Prestige, starring Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. I thought The Prestige was great. I've also seen a lot of mixed reviews about this one. You either love it or you hate it. I personally loved it. I gave it 5 stars. And honestly, about The Prestige, and honestly, I think that this plot was just so unique. It might come off boring to some people. I don't want to talk about it that much now since this is one of the movies I want to go in depth about, but it basically is starring two rival magicians and their overarching obsession with trying to be better than one another. And this rivalry just affects them, their lives, and everyone around them. I am picking The Prestige. All right, next, Insomnia or Dunkirk. Insomnia starring Al Pacino, Robin Williams, is basically a crime thriller. I wish that Christopher Nolan honestly did some more crime thrillers in the future. This wasn't the most engaging film. I mean, it definitely started out engaging. Rough overview of the plot. Al Pacino and his partner, two detectives from LA, are basically sent to a small town in Alaska to try and solve the murder of a young 17-year-old girl. Then, it's not a spoiler if it's been out for over 2 decades, but Al Pacino then accidentally kills his partner, detective partner. Al Pacino then is basically trying to cover up that he was the one that accidentally killed his partner the whole time while still trying to solve the murder of this young girl. He's in Alaska, can't sleep, going crazy a little bit. The sun's also not setting there at this time of year, hence the title Insomnia. It was fun, definitely lost me towards the second act of the film, but I can appreciate it as a whole. Or Dunkirk. Some would say this is a snooze fest. I wouldn't. I mean, I definitely can appreciate it. I like the plot, but it definitely was one of the more boring films from him. So I'm going to pick Insomnia. Next, Inception or Batman Begins. Inception, we're going to go in depth about this a little bit more because I got to talk about this movie that's not just in a this or that game. Like, we got to go in depth with it. So I'm picking Inception. Next, Dark Knight Rises or Inception? Going Inception. Dark Knight or Tenet? No brainer for me. Gotta go The Dark Knight. Next, Oppenheimer, The Dark Knight. Still going with The Dark Knight. This movie is phenomenal. Dunkirk or Following? Out of all of Christopher Nolan's films, like, no hate because I'm talking about how much I think he's a great actor, but these are the two most boring movies, in my personal opinion, from Christopher Nolan. So this is a toughie. We might have to do some eeny, meeny, miny, moe, but I'm going to pick following. Okay, now we have following or insomnia. I'm going to go with insomnia. Insomnia or the Prestige, no brainer if you've been listening, the Prestige. Now Tenet or Batman Begins. I want to say I like Tenet more than Batman Begins. I love The Dark Knight, but Batman Begins isn't The Dark Knight, so Tenet. Next we have The Dark Knight Rises or Tenet. I'm going The Dark Knight Rises. All right, Oppenheimer, The Dark Knight Rises. I'm a history gal, history buff, so I feel like the historical biopic about Oppenheimer is just a little bit more my speed. I love The Dark Knight Rises, but we're going with Oppenheimer because it's my game. So next, Inception or Oppenheimer. No brainer for me. Inception, not even going to discuss it. Ooh, okay, this one's tough. We have The Dark Knight or Inception. I love both, but since we're going to be talking about Inception, I'm just going to pick The Dark Knight. Ooh, okay, Memento or The Dark Knight. Going with Memento. Interstellar or Memento. FBF's going to get annoyed at this one. Interstellar. And I'm saying the FBFs are going to get annoyed because I've just seen a lot of comments that it's not a good movie. People that appreciate real cinema know that it's not good. Just say you're a fucking loser and move on is what I have to say. Interstellar is a phenomenal movie. Next, Batman Begins or Dunkirk. Going with Batman Begins. Following or Batman Begins. Batman Begins. Okay, this fucking app loves Batman Begins. So Batman Begins or Insomnia. I want to piss the FBFs off, so we're going with Insomnia. Insomnia or Tenet? Going with Tenet. Tenet or The Prestige? I do not care if people hate on this movie. I love The Prestige, so we're picking that. The Prestige or Dark Knight Rises? The Prestige. Oppenheimer, The Prestige? Honestly, The Prestige. It had me at the edge of my seat, to be honest. All right, next we have The Prestige or Inception. I am going with Inception. All right, so the results of that little this or that, no-brainer, that number one comes to Interstellar. That is my favorite Christopher Nolan film, but we're going to get into it a little bit. Number two, a little shocking for me, we got Memento. And then number three, we have The Dark Knight Rises. So those were our victors of this or that. Feel free to do this on your own time if you don't agree. And I probably will post this on TikTok for a clip, so let's see if I get some more hate comments for my opinions, but anyway. Now we're going to get into my top three favorite Christopher Nolan films. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't align with everyone's picks, but it's my podcast, so. Anyway, we're just going to pick three. Usually I do my favorite last, but I just want to talk about it so badly already, so we're going to talk about it first. My favorite Christopher Nolan movie is Interstellar from 2014. So let's get into it. First to start, just an overview of the plot for those that are not aware about what Interstellar entails. Definitely a sci-fi film, for sure. Sci-fi adventure. It's a little on the longer side, 2 hours and 49 minutes. I am stunned to see that it got 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. I do not agree with that. But anyway, overview of the plot. In Earth's future, a global crop blight and second dust bowl are slowly rendering the planet uninhabitable. Professor Brand, a brilliant NASA physicist, is working on plans to save mankind by transporting Earth's population to a new home via a wormhole. But first, Brand must send former NASA pilot Cooper, who was played by Matthew McConaughey, our lead in this, and a team of researchers through the wormhole and across the galaxy to find out which of these three planets could be mankind's new home. Right off the bat, best sci-fi film of all time, maybe behind 2001 A Space Odyssey, just because it's a classic. And without that film, there would be no Interstellar, to be quite honest. So the cast of this film is stacked. Might be one of my favorites. We got Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain, my girl. I actually met her, fun fact. A young Timothy Chalamet. This was probably his first like breakout blockbuster role. Granted, he wasn't in the movie for that long, but if I was in the movie for 1 second, that would be the highlight of my life, so he should be proud. I mean, he has other achievements, but anyway, I'm getting off topic. So why is Interstellar so good? Some of you are probably wondering. First and foremost, the stunning visuals. The film's visuals, just the depiction of space. I feel like it is the most realistic in comparison to, trying to think of some other space movies, like The Martian, Gravity. They just do so many complex ideas, like the wormhole, black hole, distant planets. The CGI and just visuals are breathtaking. It looks practical. I would say it's a masterpiece of visual effects, to be quite honest. And with that, we get the soundtrack, sound design going hand in hand to make these visuals just more effective. Like every time they're showing their ship flying through space or just a big gaping wormhole, you got the Hans Zimmer score and soundtrack in the background to just heighten all those emotions. I think Hans Zimmer is the GOAT of movie soundtracks and score. Everything is just so thought out. Just a little fun fact, when they are on Miller's Planet, for those that haven't seen this movie might be lost, but enjoy this if you have seen this movie. Little fun fact, in Interstellar, the ticking sound when they're on Miller's Planet occurs often during the soundtrack every 1.25 seconds, which represents the passage of one day on Earth. They kind of talk about this in the film, that every 1 hour that they're on Miller's Planet, 7 years goes by on Earth. So the ticking sound and the way that they did that with the score, I just think is very thought out, which makes me love it even more, to be quite honest. So next, why this movie is so good is just the compelling story and themes. I mean, not only is it a movie about space, you get the sci-fi with it, it's still a story about humanity. They're trying to find a new planet to save the human race. The film explores themes of love, sacrifice. The main character, Matthew McConaughey, leaves his two kids at home on Earth. He's a single dad. His wife died. He's doing this for them, going into space for he doesn't even know how long at the time he leaves, so they can have a future, because there is no future on Earth in this time period. But the importance of family and just the human drive to survive. And then another big thing that they talk about throughout the film is love. Love is the only thing that transcends time and space. And that's why I think it was such a big theme of this film as well. And I think it definitely reaches the emotional depth for the audience too. Another fun fact about the movie and why I think Interstellar is so good is that even though it's science fiction, Interstellar still is kind of driven by some plausibility with their theories between the concept of wormholes, black holes, time dilation, making the story feel a little bit more grounded in reality. I saw a while ago that Christopher Nolan did work with a group of scientists when making the script for Interstellar. So that's just another way why I feel like this story is so thought out, down to the research too. I feel like with the sci-fi, you can kind of get away with making up anything and audience is going to roll with it because it's hence sci-fi, science fiction. But the fact that Christopher Nolan kind of tried to make this movie a little bit realistic too, hits the emotional depth a little harder just with humanity dying out. These are things that maybe could happen in the future. Another reason why I personally love this movie, the emotional depth. I was just saying that love transcends time and space. That's a big part of the film. But the relationship between Matthew McConaughey and his daughter, who's played, well, the older version of his daughter is played by Jessica Chastain. I'm not sure the little girl that played his daughter at the time he left for his mission. The emotional depth between them. Cooper makes the sacrifice to leave his kids at home for God knows how long. He's not even sure if he'll come back, but he's going if it means a chance at them surviving. And there's just this emotional connection that resonates with the audiences. There's a scene where Matthew McConaughey is watching videotapes or video messages that his son sent him, and he sees the progression of his son growing up, getting older. And Matthew McConaughey is just directly crying into that camera. It's a very emotional scene. I think anyone that has seen it can agree with that. And I think that the father-daughter connection kind of resonates with audiences too. Makes it kind of personal if you can put yourself in that position and think about what you would do if you were in that scenario. And same thing with why I think it kind of can hit the audience at their heartstrings. I get a little freaked out when I see a movie that feels a little bit realistic or like it could happen in the future. I mean, this movie is only set in what, like 20? Oh God, I want to say 2050. Like, that's not that far off. So that's also a little emotional depth with it. There's just so many layers to this film. It is like an onion. Back to the actors, how this cast is stacked. I mean, Matthew McConaughey's performance was insane. I'm biased. I think that this is one of his, or if not his best role yet. Matthew McConaughey just shows like this great vulnerability in his performance. It makes it very rendering and emotional. I feel like Matthew McConaughey took the role of Coop, embodied it, and killed it. He did an amazing job. Same thing with Jessica Chastain and Anne Hathaway. This is one of the first films I've seen Jessica Chastain in. I love her. I think she is a phenomenal actress. Like I said, I met her, not to toot my own horn, but she's great. Topher Grace was also in this too. I can't believe I didn't mention him from That 70s Show. Everyone just did an amazing job. Anne Hathaway is our female lead. She delivered a strong performance, just enhanced this film's emotional impact. Ultimately, I think Interstellar is going to live on as one of the best sci-fi films of all time. It's just been so beloved for the last 10 years since it's been out. It resonates with so many audiences. When I went to that IMAX showing, that place was packed out. And 10 years later, if it's still able to reach an audience like that, I just think it's great. I would say it's his best film. But again, I'm biased and this is opinion-based. I don't know. This film, when I finished watching it, I just sat there for a while in silence thinking about what I just saw. Then I watched some YouTube videos breaking down the movie. I'm a sucker for a movie that kind of makes you think after, provokes you to think about what you just saw, how it ended, and where the film could go if it just lasted a little bit longer, what's going to happen next. Because he also does some very open-ended, open-to-interpretation endings, which I love. And Interstellar just had me thinking after. It makes you think about life, the future of humanity and our lives, space, what else is out there, because we still don't know fully what is out there. We don't even know half of it. Space is just gigantic. So Christopher Nolan did a great job kind of making these concepts come to life and looking realistic. And that's why I think Interstellar is great. So many amazing scenes with the visual effects, out of this world, no pun intended. Moving on to our second film of Christopher Nolan's that we're going to be talking about is Inception from 2010. And I'm going to give a little overview of the plot, just again, for our friends that aren't aware. All right, Inception, this is an action and another sci-fi film, a little bit on the longer side, not as long as Interstellar, 2 hours and 28 minutes, 87 on Rotten Tomatoes, so it did better than Interstellar. But anyway, overview of the plot, Dom Cobb, aka Leonardo DiCaprio, who is our lead in this, is a thief with the rare ability to enter people's dreams and steal their secrets from their subconscious. His skill has made him a hot commodity in the world of corporate espionage, but it has also cost him everything he loves. Cobb gets a chance at redemption when he is offered a seemingly impossible task: plant an idea in someone's mind. If he succeeds, it will be the perfect crime, but a dangerous enemy anticipates Cobb's every move. Ooh, okay. I don't know why I'm saying ooh. I mean, I've seen that movie multiple times. I think that Inception definitely pisses off the film buff fucks. Saw a lot of comments saying that just because you put Leonardo DiCaprio in a lead role doesn't mean it's good. I think this film is entertaining as it gets. It definitely can be a little confusing with this unique premise at first. Like, I had to restart after the first 20 minutes. But this concept of like a dream thief and going into someone's subconscious, their dreams, I think that's very, very interesting, unique. I'm not sure there's many films out there that kind of dive into the whole concept of dreaming, even going into someone's dreams. Like, how does someone think of that, to be honest? And Christopher Nolan, he took something ordinary, like just thinking about dreams, and made an extraordinary. Someone who could plant ideas in the subconscious, that's just original. It's intriguing. It grabs the audience right away with that plot. I think that the execution too, like this could have gone so wrong in so many ways with the plot, what he wanted, and the visual effects that he was able to translate to the screen. It was action-packed. It was fun. And another open-to-interpretation ending that we're definitely going to talk about. The visuals were insane. Use of CGI in this one, fantastic. I wouldn't say it's as flawless as Interstellar, but still fun. His film editing, I mean, we discussed last episode and maybe in some other episodes how important film editing is to a film and how it can really make or break it. The storyline, how he's able to edit these scenes together, it makes it come full circle. It fills the gaps between in, and I think that's something that he does really well with a lot of his movies. It might not make the most sense at first, and then how he edits these scenes together, manipulates it, puts it all together, towards halfway mark of the movie and towards the end just makes it so good. There's just so much layering with this. It allows for multiple interpretations, discussions, debate about it. So let's talk about the ending now that I'm talking about this. It'll be a good transition. So just a little rundown for our friends that haven't seen. A big part that they talk about in the movie is, how do you know when you're in a dream or when you're in a reality? And Leonardo DiCaprio's advice is that he takes what is like a dreidel with him when he goes into dreams. He spins that dreidel. If the dreidel stays spinning, he knows he's in a dream. And if it falls, he knows he's in reality. So the last scene of the movie, he spins that dreidel. It's not even a dreidel. I just don't know what to call it. So we're just going to call it that. But he spins it. Literally the last 10 seconds of the movie, the dreidel's wobbling. It looks like it's going to fall. Movie cuts out. So this movie is definitely open to interpretation. I personally think that he is in reality. I feel like that dreidel was going to topple over. Some people say he's still in a dream, which I think would be cruel based off of the ending of the movie. Don't do that to that guy, but that's why I think that any movie that sparks a debate like that, I would say is entertaining. I would say is fun. And that's what a good movie does. It sparks a debate, sparks conversation. So that ending really made Inception for me. Stacked cast, we have Leonardo DiCaprio, Elliot Page, Tom Hardy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Caine, and we have Cillian Murphy. This is the first Cillian Murphy performance I've seen, and he did an awesome job. It was just great acting all around. I mean, especially with those big A-list names, you know you're going to get a good performance, but I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in an action movie could have gone either way. Even though he's a freak bot, he's a great actor, so he definitely made this movie for me as our lead. Same thing with Cillian Murphy. He did a fantastic job for his first role that I've ever seen him in. Came out 15 years ago, and I mean, what are the odds that what he wins an Oscar for is 13 years later in another Christopher Nolan movie? Amazing job. Before we conclude and go to the third movie, overall, Inception. It is an action-packed movie, breathtaking visuals, this blend of genres with the action, sci-fi, crime genre, like crime, I'm saying in terms that he's a dream thief. We even got the philosophical themes with identity, memory, the nature of what is reality, what is not reality. Very interesting. It just sparks a lot of philosophical discussions and very interesting. I love a little puzzling movie like that, and this was an absolutely puzzling movie from beginning to end. The plot is so intricate with so many layers. I would say if you're gonna watch this movie, don't be discouraged if you're not really getting it your first time around. It's one of those movies that you can watch over and over again and still find something new that you missed before. It's amazing. Inception, 5 stars from me. So let's get into our last Christopher Nolan movie that I want to talk about. So The Prestige, I actually just watched this last week in preparation for this episode since I wanted to make sure I watched every single Christopher Nolan movie that's out there to make my formal opinions and stances. The Prestige came out in 2006. It is a thriller, sci-fi. He loves the sci-fi. Shorter movie that we're talking about, 2 hours and 10 minutes. 77 on Rotten Tomatoes, the same as Interstellar. Starring Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. So an overview of the plot. This is a period thriller set in London where two rival magicians, partners until the tragic death of an assistant during a show, feud bitterly after one of them performs the ultimate magic trick. Teleportation. His rival tries desperately to uncover the secret of his routine, experimenting with dangerous new science as his quest takes him to the brink of insanity and jeopardizes the lives of everyone around the pair. Very interesting to me. I mean, to be honest, it could have been a snooze fest, but it was not. It was not at all. The Prestige, at least in my opinion, definitely some other opinions out there, The Prestige is considered a great film. Its intricate plot, I would say that's definitely unique. Compelling performances. Christian Bale is awesome. I wasn't that much of a Hugh Jackman fan until this movie, but he did a fantastic job. And the theme and overall plot of obsession, rivalry, and the whole nature of illusion and magic, it was just something extraordinary from me. I think Christopher Nolan did a great job. This was another 5-star watch, and Little side note, for our Modern Family fans out there, if you know anything about the show, you know Phil Dunphy loves magic, and I would just like to say that if Phil Dunphy were real, he would have fucking loved The Prestige. It was so good. I love this movie, and I know Phil Dunphy would have. So a deeper look at why the film personally resonates with me, why I think it's so good, probably resonates with a lot of audiences as well. This intricate plot. I mean, how many movies out there has one scene about two rival magicians or just magicians in general? Not that many. I hear crickets right now. So I just think it was great, and especially this whole stereotype with magicians, how they're just obsessed with their craft. They never reveal their secrets. That's why I think that this plot with obsession is definitely brilliant, because if there is one thing that strikes obsession, it's these old-timey magicians and their magic, their craft, their dedication to perfecting their magic and illusion in general. So unique. Take something ordinary and makes it extraordinary. That's what I think Christopher Nolan does, and this movie just really highlights that. These compelling performances, I think Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman did a phenomenal job. They really embody the role of an old-timey magician being obsessed with one another in a dangerous way. Just took it to a whole new level. It raises questions about entertainment and the potential consequences about chasing perfection and chasing this greatness. Fantastic. This film, I would say, definitely highlights Christopher Nolan's signature style in the best way. First and foremost, the visual style. This film showcases Nolan's signature style. I mean, first, the use of neutral tones, I think, is great to really highlight the atmospheric essence of this old-timey London Edwardian time period that we're in. Same thing with the cinematography. I mean, some of these shots that are just edited together are amazing. The editing is so precise, and it's also like Inception, the way that the story kind of comes full circle at a point with how he edits between the past and present as the story reverts between the past and the present. You're just really immersed in the world of this 19th century magic. It's not something that I ever thought I wanted to be immersed in, but it was amazing. If I could watch it again for the first time, I would. And there's just this unique take on magic. A big quote that is said often throughout the film, and even on the film poster, is, "Are you watching closely?" It really just takes this whole idea of illusion, the idea of magic, because I'm sorry, spoiler alert, magic in that sense is not real. It is all just illusion, and it is all just something that the actual magician, he's got a trick up his sleeve hiding. And this story takes a deep dive into it. It focuses on the spectacle of magic tricks, but the human cost of pursuing them. I mean, these guys go from pretty bright characters, bright, happy, just striving to be the best they can be, and it just takes a turn into the fucking worst. Spoiler alert, since this movie's been out for almost 20 years, but someone kills someone at the end, so that just tells you where this rivalry takes them. The idea of obsession just went so dark in this movie, it took it to a whole new level, what I think is great. Another thought-provoking ending. It revealed the true secret. If you remember in the plot, I was talking about how one magician performed the perfect trick, teleportation. At the end, it is revealed how he, in fact, was able to do that trick. Very thought-provoking how it ends and leaves off. It's shocking. Wasn't expecting it. That is the last thing I thought was going to happen. That I definitely don't want to spoil, so I'm not going to talk about it. But to leave off with The Prestige and why I love it so much, it just uses this world of magic as a metaphor for the film, explores the nature of illusion, deception, and the pursuit of being something extraordinary. We'll leave it off with that. The plot, the whole idea of illusions, is taken to a whole new level. And again, I just love how Christopher Nolan was able to take a plot that could be seen as ordinary and made it into something extraordinary. I love this movie. Definitely give that a watch. That wraps up episode 6, our Christopher Nolan episode. Not really sure what I have in store for the next episode 7 coming out next week. Definitely love to do like an Indiana Jones episode at one point, since I just finished the original trilogy. Quentin Tarantino, would love to talk about him. Definitely want to do a little musical adaptation episode talking about Wicked, maybe with a special guest. So we got a lot of good things coming from Capt in the future. I see nothing but good things coming. I mean, we definitely have some haters out there, but haters are motivators. So I'm determined to stick it out with the podcast, see what it can be, and hopefully encourage some people to just broaden their movie horizon, go see a movie, get that love of the theater back in the air. And that's how we're going to leave it off. So thank you for listening, and see you next week.